Good morning, welcome to our worship today. Let us begin with Luther's morning prayer. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. Keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. Into your hands I commend my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen. We begin our service in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praise. Hasten to save me, O God. O Lord, come quickly to help me. Give glory to God, our light and our life. The Spirit of the Lord fills the world. Let us worship him. We collect our thoughts in prayer. O God, you rule over all things in wisdom and kindness. Take away everything that may be harmful and give us whatever is good. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first lesson today, then, is from the Old Testament book of Kings, 1 Kings chapter 8. We'll read the selected verses. Faith trusts in God's power completely. We begin reading at verse 22 of chapter 8 of 1 Kings. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the whole assembly of Israel, spread out his hands toward heaven and said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth below. You who keep your covenant of love with your servants, who continue wholeheartedly in your way. As for the foreigner who does not belong to your people Israel, but has come from a distant land because of your name, for men will hear of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm. When that foreigner comes and prays toward this temple, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and do whatever the foreigner asks of you, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your own people Israel, and may know that this house I have built bears your name. This is God's word. And we hear the word of our Lord from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. We'll begin reading at verse 1. Amazing faith comes through God's amazing grace. When Jesus had finished saying all this in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. There a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with Jesus, "This man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, Jesus was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, Jesus said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. This is the gospel of our Lord. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Alleluia. We now turn to the word of God for our message today. It is the third lesson, the epistle lesson, Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 1. We'll begin reading at verse 1. Paul, by inspiration, writes, "Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers with me, to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you had accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. This is the Word of God. Dear friends in Christ, don't be fooled. A few weeks ago, I was fooled. We filed our taxes around the middle of February, and we still have not received the tax refund that was owed, and it was a sizable amount. So I went to the IRS website seeking answers as to why. Perhaps they could help me. I was following all the steps they suggested. Everything was going just fine. And then a screen popped up with the question, "How can I help you?" I answered it, and everything seemed to be just according to what it should be. Questions that were very appropriate for my problem were asked, and I answered them all. The lady that was on that chat line seemed to be very knowledgeable, and I was excited. But then came the statement, "I will have you talk to a technician." Sure, no problem. But as soon as I said okay, a pop-up came on the other side of the computer screen, and there appeared a form to fill out requesting my credit card information. That lady on the chat line to the right said, "Just fill out the form. The charge of $5 will be reimbursed to your credit card later on." At this point, I knew I had been fooled. In different ways, I have been fooled over the years. And whenever it does happen, it feels like a punch to the stomach. Anytime you are fooled or you're misled in such a way, it hurts. But that's nothing compared to what Paul warned the Galatians and what he warns us today about. As we turn to our lesson, Paul speaks to us about being fooled in such a way that could have far greater consequences than just losing some wealth. We hear that some of the members of this congregation of Galatia were being fooled into believing something that was spiritually wrong. It's something the Apostle Paul calls a different gospel. And therefore, his warning today is, don't be fooled. You know, people often talk about how quickly the weather can change, and that is true. But it's also true of people's hearts and beliefs. After the Apostle Paul had established a church, a Christian congregation here in Galatia, he moved on to Corinth and began mission work there. But no sooner had he arrived in Corinth doing the mission work there when bad news arrived from a delegation of believers from Galatia. And they reported that many in the church were wavering in their faith. Well, Paul didn't write them off, He didn't write them off as lost, but he wrote to them of the dangers of flirting with a different gospel. Let's go down to verses 6 and 7. Paul writes, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. Paul does not mention this group of people by name, the false teachers, but throughout the scriptures, New Testament, we know they were known as the Judaizers. They taught that you needed to believe in Jesus, but you also needed to keep the Old Testament ceremonial laws to get to heaven. And not only were they teaching, do this and you have to do that, they were also claiming that Paul was not really an apostle anyway, so they didn't have to listen to him. As far as they knew, Paul had not been with Jesus as the other disciples had. And Paul had dealt with these attacks in the very first part of this lesson. He begins by establishing his credentials as an apostle. A credential. I have a driver's license. That is a credential that shows that I have been verified or trained to drive. I am competent to drive. Well, Paul established his credentials this way. Paul, an apostle sent not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Paul explained that after he was baptized in Damascus, he went to the desert region of Arabia, where Jesus himself taught the apostle Paul everything he needed to know and to share. But how were the Galatian Christians to know that Paul was indeed giving a true message as a messenger of God? Well, they could know it from the true gospel Paul preached. Paul summarized that true gospel in his greeting to the Galatians when he said, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of God our Father." The true gospel message is the good news about what God has done to save us. It's all about Jesus and how Jesus gave himself for our sins. Every other religion, and even many Christian church bodies, teach that we must first give ourselves to God before God will do anything for us. Pray a prayer, ask the Lord, whatever it might be, and then God will respond. That's simply not true. That's not what the Bible teaches. Think back to the Garden of Eden. After Adam and Eve had sinned, did they go running to God to confess what they had done and promise not to do it again? No, they ran from God. And when confronted with their sin, they blamed God. Adam blamed God. You gave me Eve. But in spite of all of that, in spite of their sinful denial, God gave himself to Adam and Eve when he first tracked them down and then promised to send the Savior. Because the true gospel is all about what God did, Paul could announce to the Galatians, grace and peace was theirs. That was a fact, not a wish. In the same way that I can announce to all of you, your sins are forgiven. Not will be forgiven if you first live a good life or if you first believe. No. Whether you believe it or not, your sins are forgiven. Of course, if you don't believe, Jesus' work of salvation would be worthless to you. What danger is a different gospel? Perhaps a better word is an indifferent gospel. What would be the danger? Because an indifferent gospel considers one set of beliefs as good as another. Like that saying, all roads lead to heaven, don't they? No. What an indifferent gospel does, it poo-poos sin. It makes God's less demanding and more compromising. It changes God's word so people can say they live God's way when in reality they're living their own way. If I have two different pairs or two different socks, they're not a match. They'll never match. Neither will the true gospel ever match with a man-made gospel. A man-made gospel is a lie, and it's peddled by Satan. Why? Because he wants to destroy our faith. The life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus matches the gospel. The word we preach and believe. Grace and peace are solid gifts from God because of the person and the work of Jesus. Jesus did the works we can't do. Do you have the ability to lift a, oh, say, 1,300 pounds over your head? That would be a world record. It seems that the limit of a person that he can lift is underneath that. So it's silly to believe that we could lift anything close to that amount. But Jesus did. He lifted the weight of the law over his head. He did what we couldn't do. That's part one. Part two is his death. Jesus paid the price for our sin. Do any of you have $20 million at your disposal? If I demanded $20 million from you to save your life, would you be able to fork it over? Would you be able to save your life? No. What we couldn't pay, Jesus did. Not with money, but with his precious blood on Calvary's cross. And part three is a big empty. Jesus's tomb on Easter Sunday was empty, and everyone who looked in it saw there was empty. And the empty tomb and Jesus's appearances following his resurrection verify that he is the fulfillment of the gospel we preach, the gospel we teach, the gospel we believe, and the gospel we live. Paul says, even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. People are passionate about many things, some good, some bad. You can just hear the passion in Paul's voice. Passion to preach the gospel. The gospel saves, and the gospel changes us. Have you heard the conversation between the devil and Jesus? The devil was gloating. Jesus, I just caught Adam and Eve. Now I got everyone. I am going to teach them all how to marry and divorce each other, how to hate and abuse each other, how to drink and gamble and curse and steal. I'm going to teach them to invent bombs and guns and kill each other. Boy, Jesus, I'm really going to have fun. Jesus said, Satan, how much do you want for them? Satan replied, they aren't any good. They'll hate you, Jesus. They'll spit on you. They will curse you. They'll crucify you. Jesus said, I still want them. How much, devil? Satan says, all your blood, all your tears, all your life. And Jesus said, done. And Jesus paid the price. Paul writes, Jesus gave himself for our sins. To rescue us from the present evil age, to him be glory forever and ever. When we think of the price that Jesus gave for us, we give him glory, not just with our lips, but with our life, the thoughts we think, the words we say, the actions, all give glory to Jesus. I don't know what the consequences necessarily might be regarding the information that I gave to that lady, being fooled, still haven't received that tax refund. But no matter what it would be, it's nothing compared to losing the message of salvation. Paul says, don't be fooled. Don't be fooled by the different gospel preached by the world. Rather, take heart, put your faith in the pure gospel preached by God's word. We pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with you all. Amen. God bless you. God bless your day.